The second sorrow is the flight into Egypt. Herod ordered all children under the age of 2 to be put to death. He meant serious business. He wanted the death of who was to become king. Now, of course, he thought in terms of earthly kingship, but he actually wanted the death of the Christ child, the Messiah. This is Our Lady's first aspect of this particular sorrow, that Herod or others would want to put her son to death. And yet she knew how perfect he was, how lovable, amiable he was, and how good he was. He was no sooner born than men were already trying to put him to death, the very men who he would save. Anyone may imagine that Mary must have suffered on this journey from Bethlehem to Egypt. To Egypt, the distance was great. Most authors agree that it was about 300 miles, so that it was a journey of upwards of 30 days because of the nature of the terrain and that type of thing. The road was, according to St. Bonaventure, described as rough, unknown, and little frequented. It was in the winter season, so it would have been difficult on that level. So they had to actually travel in snow, rain, and wind, and through rough and dirty roads and that type of thing. St. Bonaventure asks, how did they obtain their food? Where did they repose at night? How were they lodged? What can they eat but a piece of hard bread or something like that, either brought by St. Joseph or begged his alms? In other words, what they would have, on the sustenance level, it would have been difficult. Where could they have slept on such a road? Especially on the 200 miles of desert where there were neither houses nor inns, as authors tell us. Unless on the sand or under a tree, St. Bonaventure says, exposed to the air and the dangers of robbers and wild beasts with which Egypt abounded. Had one met these three greatest personages in the world, for whom could he have taken them but for three poor wandering beggars through the desert? It was a great physical suffering for St. Joseph and Our Lady. And remember, for her, she feels things more acutely, so it's a harder thing for her to deal with than it would be for us. But Our Lady interiorly manifested perfect confidence, that is, trust in God's protection of her son and the protection of them from the wrath of Herod. In God's providence in that moment, in his will and in his wisdom of what they were doing. In other words, she had perfect confidence. God knows what he's doing. He revealed to St. Joseph, I'm not going to argue with him. We're not going to discuss it. We're just going to do it, type of thing. How different this is from us who, when even the slightest thing goes wrong, we get angry with God. We distrust his providence. We don't think he really knows what he's doing. I know better. And we question his will. We even deny his wisdom. That kind of a thing. So there's a real difference where her confidence is never shaken. It's never even, there's perfect constancy through the whole thing. There's the threefold purity of Our Lady. Now, the authors tell us there's three kinds of purity. The first is physical purity, so you never violate the sixth commandment in relationship to your state in life. The second is mental purity, which is never violation of the ninth commandment. But then there is a purity, the third kind of a purity, which is very different. Everything that's created in relationship to God is imperfect, and in a certain sense impure, in the sense, not that it's evil, but impure in the sense that God is purity itself. He's pure goodness, pure knowledge, pure truth. There's absolutely no admixture of any impurity whatsoever. So the third level of purity is one in which the person's mind never allows anything into it that is not God. So the third level of purity is one in which the intellect and will and the soul of the individual remains absolutely pure, being fixed on purity itself, God. Never deviates. Everything it does is under the aspect of God. And that's part of that's driven by charity. So charity is loving God and loving our neighbor for the sake of God. So that being the case, it's always under the aspect of God. St. Thomas calls that the formality of faith, the formality of the virtues, in which you're always doing them under the aspect of God. And so, this purity she had is one how Our Lady was never self-absorbed. We'll talk about that when we get to the fifth sorrow. It did not matter at all what was happening to her. She never focused on herself. It was pure focus on God and on her Son. So she was never self-absorbed, but totally taken with God, and never considered anything under the aspect of, except under that of God. She was never selfish in her suffering. And by that we mean all the aspects of that. Complaining, you know, thinking to herself, how long is this going to last? How much do I have to put up with? None of that.